Oh, let's pray together.
We thank you, our Father, for the gift of your Son. May we see Christ and Him only. I pray in His name. Amen. How many of you like Christmas hymns and songs? How many of you have been listening to it like from since Thanksgiving? I don't do that. But I like Christmas hymns, but except for two. And if they're your favorites, I'm sorry, but I really don't like Feliz Navidad. And I really don't like Baby, It's Cold. Now, I don't know why I don't like Feliz Navidad. It doesn't have anything to do with being anti-Hispanic. I don't know why, but I do know why I don't like the other one. I think it's because it's true. Brothers and sisters, as we've talked in Sunday school at far deeper levels than we can in the pulpit, this is a real mixed path, isn't it? This season has a lot of joy. This season has a lot of times where we have to say to anyone that will listen, it's cold. Sometimes we think, and sometimes during this season, those words of C.S. Lewis and the Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe ring so utterly true that we just want to curl up when he wrote that at times we live in a time where it was always winter, but never Christmas. Ever had a time like that? It just felt like it was always winter, but never Christmas. It's cold, and we're still waiting. And Jesus should have been here before now, but he's not in that manger. This has been a full length of Advent, of waiting. And it's cold. And sometimes we hear, even me, we hear religious types say, oh, cheer up. Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And if we're honest, sometimes even those words make the dark even darker and the cold even colder because they sound too easily said by those that just want us to get on with our sadness because they don't want us to impinge upon their joy. So we dismiss even that. Sometimes we can just wonder if this is a safe place to be. So today I think the text from Matthew 1 brings us to that expectation that maybe today I'll be safe. I'll be safe. Let's look at Matthew 1. I love the story of Joseph. He's one of my favorite saints, one of my favorite characters in the Old and New Testament. But Joseph is someone that we can all relate to. And this pericope before us really highlights that. Let's read it. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. We'll talk more on Christmas Eve because I'm going to talk about the songs of the angels. But angels, when they are appearing, angels do one thing. They represent God. When angels show up, they are deputized messengers that represent God. So what we have here are the first words of God in the New Testament. I find this incredible comfort. The first words of God spoken in the New Testament is, do not fear. Do not fear. He tells Joseph in the night, a cold night, he says, don't fear. The word for fear there in the Greek is a word you know. It's phobeia in the Greek. In the English, we call it a phobia. And it's a fear that either causes us to want to run away or to fight I think psychologists call it the flight or fight syndrome. But what it does is it's that fear that so overwhelms our emotions that we become seized. We're bound. We don't know what to do. And Joseph finds himself at this place where he didn't know what to do. He's a good man, the text tells us. He's a hard-working carpenter. He's not the most sophisticated of guys. I mean, he's like the guys we like. I mean, he knew how to work with his hands. He was probably just a good old Joe. And he's married to the, or engaged to the love of his life. And he finds out she's pregnant. You don't have to be in first century Palestine for that to be unsettling news for a man to find out about his soon-to-be wife, that she's pregnant. But she's creative somehow. We don't know this yet, but somehow there's this knowledge that it's of the Holy Spirit. Well, that would confuse me even more if I was chosen. It's one thing for you to tell me, if we are betrothed, that you're pregnant, and I know it's not mine. It's another thing for then you to tell me, oh, but I don't know how it happened. Maybe God did it. And he's confused. He doesn't know what's going on. We get the story all jumbled up because we've heard it so often. I want to remind you, at this time, Joseph has not been instructed to go to Bethlehem for the census. He doesn't know that part of the story yet. All he knows is, my life is coming apart because I have pledged myself in good faith to this woman and she's pregnant. He didn't know what to do. In the day, he had three options. There were three options open for him. He could have, following the Mosaic law, had her stoned. He could have killed her. And I think if Joseph breathed the same air that we breathe, that probably ran through his mind. He could have killed her. The other option is he could have divorced her in a very quiet way that would not take her life, would allow her to live some level of life but shamed. She could have done it quietly to not add too much embarrassment. Sort of the same as someone going off to visit their aunt for about 10 months. Or he could have married her and raised a child that he knew wasn't his. Those were his options. Anyone he chose wasn't what he would celebrate. Any of the three seemed like a consolation prize. None of those seem ideal. And where we find Joseph in this story is he's had a long night. He's truly seized with fear, and he went to bed thinking about this, totally perplexed, but he was just worn out and he fell asleep. You've probably been there. You've probably gone to sleep thinking about things that you don't understand. Things that are confusing, things that are painful, things that you just don't know what to do. And he fell asleep. And when he fell asleep, we're told that an angel, a messenger of God, showed up in a dream. And it's interesting what this angel did. The first thing the angel did was to call Joseph the son of David, to remind him of his identity. But then it did say, don't worry, Mary. Take Mary as your wife. And we know the end of the story, he did. But God is not a God that just tells us to keep our chin up, to buck up, to, you know, put the best foot forward. God is always there to tell us what to do, but God is always there as a patient gardener to instruct us how to do that which he's called us to do. And he tells Joseph how to not fear by giving him the antidote of all fear, and that is Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Emmanuel is by far more than just a name. As I prayed, it's a promise. is God saying, I will be with you. No matter how dark and lonely you might feel, you're not alone. Emmanuel, God with you. But Emmanuel does two things. God lives up to that name. You know, we're surrounded by a lot of things that'll go to dust, won't they? Old cars, old houses, old clothes, old bodies. Everything just sort of sags and wears out, right? I mean, nothing is the same. I'm glad you can laugh about it. I mean, because it's true. So what do you put your stock in? What do you put your stock in? Well, brothers and sisters, it's real simple. I can tell you where to put your stock. Put your stock in eternity. Now, eternity doesn't have like a bank or a financial advisor that you can sort of find in the yellow pages or Google. Scripture tells us that there are only two eternal things on this earthly plane. There are only two things that are eternal on this earthly plane, and they meet in Emmanuel. The first eternal thing is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Logos was in the eternal. The psalmist says, your Word is eternally settled in the heavens. In Isaiah 40, it says, the flowers are going to fade, these poinsettias are going to die, the grass is going to wither, but your Word is eternal. So, Emmanuel is the Word of God married to the Anthropos, the people of God. We are eternal in Christ Jesus. We were created with eternity in our hearts, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes. And what my job as a pastor is to marry those two. To bring the Word of God and the people of God together. Because this is the body of Christ. But this isn't the first body of Christ. There was a body of Christ that came 2,000 years ago, right? A little itty-bitty body of Christ. And in that incarnational body of Christ, you have that Logos that was eternal and was made flesh. And in Emmanuel, you have a promise embodied in Jesus of Nazareth that God's going to take His Word and He's going to marry it to His people, and the two will never be apart. That's why you don't fear. That's why Joseph could not fear. Because He's safe. Because if there's one thing I know about God, He keeps His Word, doesn't He? He can't break His Word. The one time we came close to the Word of God being broken when he looked away from His Son, the whole world was turned upside down. The skies collapsed. It turned dark. All hell broke loose. Never to be repeated. God keeps His Word, so you don't need to fear. But God also keeps His children, doesn't He? I don't know if any of you have been in a fight recently. I really don't want to know if you have been, but if you've been in a fist fight recently, if you came up and said, I've gotten a fight, Pastor, my more important question would be not, why'd you, you know, tell me about the fight. I'd want to know, what made you fight? What made you take up arms? Well, I don't know many mothers that fight, but I know one thing that will bring up the rage in a mother. You don't want to make a mother close to being fitful and fightful? You talk about her babies. You know what makes a father pull out the shotgun? You monkey around with his babies. Do you understand what I'm saying? And Jesus says the same thing, and then He immediately says, and if us being evil know to have that type of protection of our children, how much more would a perfect father have protection of his children? So why do we fear? Why do we fear? I think it's Not because we don't know it's true. It's because we don't sleep enough. Okay, what I mean. It's interesting how and when God, through an angel, came to Joseph. He was asleep. And sometimes God has to get where we stop thinking. We stop trying to figure it out on our own mind. We stop trying to research it to death. You ever heard that ignorance is bliss? Sure. Have you also known that you can drive yourself sick by Googling things? And Googling things. And Googling things. And maybe God has to proverbially or metaphorically or literally let us fall asleep. So we shut up all those voices. And then his still small voice can whisper, Emmanuel, I keep my word. I keep my people. It's interesting to me that Joseph didn't get a burning bush. He didn't get tablets that fell out of the sky. He didn't get anything really tangible that he could hold on to. He got a whispered promise that until he shut up all the other voices, he couldn't hear. He got a voice, a dream, a faint promise. But a promise, the validity of a promise is not based on how loud it's spoken. It's based on the veracity of the one making the promise, right? Would you rather have an unsure promise from someone who was loud and you couldn't trust, or a whispered promise from someone who was always faithful? Brothers and sisters, during this season, part of why it's tough is everything's loud during this season, isn't it? There's a whole lot of shouting going on. We talk a lot in Sunday school class about how everybody's shouting at us. Advertisers shout at us, don't they? Literally, there's even, might be a nice man and everything, but even some car dealer has some car commercial where he's literally yelling at us. And he's got his daughter yelling too. Yeah. I mean, think about this. If you have to get brain surgery, are you going to go to your neurosurgeon because he could yell the loudest? Are you going to go to a doctor that gets on TV and yells? Are you going to make your choices in life based on the loudness or the preponderance of the voices? It's not just on TV. Some of us are surrounded by people that like to yell. And they may be yelling quietly, but they're still yelling. But maybe even sometimes, like Joseph, when we're all alone and we're going to sleep, sometimes the most hateful shouting are those voices that are inside our own head. So wherever the shouting is coming from, we're always going to fear until we get to that point where we just hear that whispered word, Emmanuel. So here's what, if you allow me to say it, what Joseph basically heard. If you allow me to put it in my language, this is what Joseph heard from the angel. I know that this is not what you expected from Mary or from God. But trust me, Joseph, it's going to be okay. Not easy, but okay. Because I will stay with you and walk with you and carry you. I'm Emmanuel. Amen. John's going to come and he's not going to sing. He's going to play. And I want us together in the silence of the few moments before communion to think through those things that we have heard shouted and that maybe caused us to fear. And to somehow release those and in the quietness before we come to this table of healing, may we hear, as Joseph did, that still small voice that says, Emmanuel. Whatever the situation you're in, Emmanuel is the answer. Phrases not only rhyme, they say the same thing. It is well, Emmanuel. They're saying the same thing. God is with you. For Jesus said in John 6 that your only salvation is that you take and ingest me. He's not only with us, He is in us. He is the water that we receive, never to thirst again. The bread we eat for our strengthening and sustenance. And the blood we drink for the complete remission of our sins. For after supper, He took bread, and having given thanks, He blessed it, and He broke it, and He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, He took a cup. Having given thanks, He blessed it and distributed it and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." The blood of the new covenant. The blood upon which you receive full forgiveness and remission of sins. Therefore, drink ye all of it. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this wine, we partake in the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Our gracious Lord, we thank You that we hear Your voice clearly speak, Emmanuel. Forgive us, our Father, of those times where we have sold our peace to the loudest shout, where we have conformed our behavior to the most preponderant message. Those times where we have failed to hear Your word because we were too busy listening to all the other words, yea, even the ones in our own thinking. Forgive us, we pray, our Father. May we be shed of that. And may we hear, as Joseph heard, fear not. Emmanuel. Thank you that you keep your word and you keep your children. Bring them together now in this act of worship, we pray. In Christ's name.